إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our eighth session, reading from Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics and qualities of the worshippers of the Most Merciful, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, our topic is going to be the seventh characteristic of the Ibad al-Rahman. And before we look at the seventh characteristic, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 7. The first question being, how has the author, hafidhahullah, summarized, or how does the author summarize as-sifatu as-sadisatu, yani the sixth characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman?
Unbeneficial speech as well as harmful speech.
And even? Tayyib. Yani that they stay away from. They keep themselves distanced from the gatherings of al-batil and al-munkarat. Yani everything that's false and evil, sinful, corruption. Yani bu'aduhum an majalisi al-batili wal-munkarat. Yani that they keep themselves far away from everything that is of falsehood and evil and corruption. Gatherings of evil and corruption and falsehood. Number 2, memorize the ayah in the Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 72nd ayah, containing as-sifat as-sadisa, yani the sixth characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman. The ayah that was under discussion last week. Naam? Those who do not bear witness to falsehood down. And if they pass by it? They pass by with dignity. Naam. So, alhamdulillah, yani, the point here is that the point of this question is for us to focus on the ayah, the proof that the Shaykh is the basis of this particular characteristic that the Shaykh has summarized here as being distanced from the gatherings of falsehood and sin and corruption. The ayah, memorizing the proof so that we retain the characteristic that we want to, try to work at, being described with. That we retain the characteristic and we also know the basis for the characteristic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning this particular characteristic, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And if they pass by, لَغْو, يعني anything that is of no benefit, يعني speech or even action that has no benefit, that doesn't contain any khair, then they pass by, يعني in a dignified manner, يعني they pass by with dignity, honorably. يعني they don't witness these things, they don't participate in it, they don't join in it, and if they come across it, then they pass by with dignity. Question number 3, mention the author's summary of the first 5 sifat, characteristics or qualities of Ibad al-Rahman. And the first of them is what? As-sakina, wal-waqar, wal-tawadu' lillahi wal-ibadihi. Yani that they have what?
Humility,
composure, yani tranquility, peaceful. Yani when they walk through the earth, their humility in front of Allah and humility in dealing with the people, the ibad Allah. Now, the second one is muhafazatuhum ala salat, wa la siyama qiyam al-layl. Yani that they are careful in guarding, preserving, protecting their prayers, especially the prayer of standing in the night. And the third one, نعم خوفهم وإشفاقهم عن عذاب النار. That they have fear. يعني they have a conscious fear, concern, worry about the punishment of the hellfire. The fourth of them is related to spending. توسطهم في النفقة. يعني they are being moderate in their spending between extravagance and being miserly. And the fifth of them is يعني distancing, keeping themselves away from the greater sins, يعني the enormous sins and acts of disobedience. بعدهم عن كبائر الذنوب وعظام الآثام. عليكم السلام. So يعني again here the purpose here is to remind us of some of the characteristics that we passed by before. And it is good, يعني, to try to memorize these characteristics. If we are trying to, يعني, actualize them in our lives, then we have to be conscious of them. And one of the ways of doing that is actually memorizing them. يعني, to some extent, even memorizing the general meaning. يعني, so that we are conscious of these things and working on them. Number four, question number four, discuss the intended meaning of وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. And what is the meaning of they do not bear witness to falsehood? What, how has the Shaykh explained this? That they what?
They're not present.
Yani, they're not present, right? They don't attend, yani, places or where people are engaged in zur, yani, engaged in falsehood or in sin and corruption and wrongdoing. They don't attend such places. They don't attend those places of gathering, and they don't participate. They don't share with the people who are attending those gatherings. They don't share in that behavior. Number five, mention some of the sins listed by the author under the first category of gatherings intended by this ayah 2572. And in the first category, Sheikh mentioned three categories. The first category that he mentioned, shirk is the worst sin. But here the Sheikh mentioned a series, or he listed some types of sins that might be engaged in those gatherings. Yani that people are engaged in those gatherings. He said that these are gatherings in which people are engaged in yani al-ma'asi, yani sin and atham, yani acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he listed, he said, like for example, al-ghiba, wal-namima, wal-sukhriya, wal-ihtiza, wal-kadhib, wal-ghina. Yani he listed a series of sins. So some of the sins that the Shaykh mentioned that people are engaged in, he gives an example of the kind of things that people are engaged in gatherings that the Muslim should avoid. Yani gatherings where there's yani backbiting, and where there's, you know, lying, and where there's making fun of people, making mockery of people, making fun of the religion, you know, music and things like this. Yani that we should avoid this type of gathering.
Watching immorality.
Yani watching on television, on the television, on the telephones and things where yani images of filth and corruption and immorality is being displayed. Question number six. Mention three areas of deviation included in the second category of gatherings of the callers, yani the du'at, who call to evil and misguidance. The second category, the Shaykh mentioned three yani areas of deviation. He said al-afkar al-munharifa, yani where ideas or ideologies, deviant ideas or ideologies are being spread. وَالْآرَى الْفَاسِدَ, yani where false, corrupt opinions are being disseminated or being spread or being propagated. And he said الْعَمَالْ الْمُبْتَدِعَ, yani actions of innovated actions, where these ideas and these things are being spread by the du'at who are calling to yani السوء والضلال, yani sin, evil, and misguidance. Question number seven. Discuss the third category of gatherings mentioned by the author, which Muslims are prohibited to participate in. The third category that the Shaykh mentioned is the gatherings where the pagan holidays are being celebrated. Where the pagan holidays are being celebrated, yani during the seasons in which the pagans celebrate, yani for whatever reasons that they might celebrate. He said that is prohibited for Muslims to attend these things, to greet these people on these occasions, or to even show, to openly show, yani display of happiness and joy with the celebrations of paganism and corruption and filth and misguidance. The last question, discuss the meaning of, and if they pass by some evil speech, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, they pass by with dignity. Yani how has the Shaykh explained this? What is the meaning of this? That if they pass by some lagu, they pass by يعني اقتراما. يعني he said that the meaning of this is that they try to avoid it altogether. They don't attend such places. They don't participate in these things, and they make every effort to avoid it. But if إذا قدر الله, if Allah had decreed that they happen to pass by a gathering in which these things are taking place, then they pass by with dignity. يعني مكرما نفسه متزهيا متنزها يعني عن جلوس فيها يعني معرضا عنها, that they turn away from it, that they separate themselves from it, and they pass by honorably, nobly, يعني without participating in those things. Now, so these are some of the points that we discussed last week. Particularly, the Shaykh, he actually categorized يعني these gatherings into three categories. However, يعني this doesn't mean that يعني it is inclusive of everything, but he's just given us examples of different categories or types of gatherings and some examples of the things that take place in those gatherings that Muslims should avoid. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to go to the seventh sifa, the seventh quality or characteristic of the Ibad al-Rahman, which the Shaykh on page 26 of the Arabic text of the book, and I think maybe in English is on page 28, now in English. The Shaykh, he says, as-sifat as-sabi'ah, the seventh characteristic or quality, meaning of the Ibad al-Rahman, is ta'azimuhum li kalami Allahi jalla wa ala wa amaluhum bima fihi. Ta'azimuhum li kalami Allahi azza wa jalla wa amaluhum bima fihi. Yani, ta'azimuhum, yani their reverence or their deep respect that they have for the kalam of Allah, for the speech of Allah. And also, amaluhum, they're acting upon that which is contained in the speech of Allah. Yani having high respect, a high respect and yani veneration, reverence for the speech of Allah. This is from the characters of Ibad al-Rahman, that they have a deep respect for the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they act upon what is contained in the speech of Allah. Yani what is contained in the Quran. They act upon it, they live by it. Yani this is their standard, that is their guide in terms of their life, their action and their behavior. Here the Shaykh, he mentions يعني the ayah here, ayah 73 from Surah Al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا, يعني those who when they are reminded of the ayat of their Rabb, when they are reminded about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا, يعني they didn't fall down, لَمْ يَسْقُطُوا, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَ, they didn't fall down, يعني deaf and blind, يعني deaf to the ayat of Allah, or blind to يعني the ayat of Allah, يعني that's not how they responded, يعني that's the response of the disbelievers. And before we go into the what the Shaykh says concerning this, and I'm just going to like try to give like an outline of how the Shaykh is presenting this idea. He's mentioning three points. In the first point, he talks about yani the high station or status, the great importance that the Ibad al-Rahman have for the Kalam of Allah, the Quran, the speech of Allah. The second point that he makes is yani how that is manifested. Yani it is manifested in the way they respond when they are reminded of the signs of Allah. They don't turn away from it. They don't turn a deaf ear to it or a blind eye to it. Rather, they accept it, they receive it, they examine it, they reflect upon it, they try to understand it, they try to act upon it. And the third point that he makes is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning those people who are out of pride and arrogance, reject the reminder from the signs of Allah, when they are reminded of the signs of Allah, and they are asked to comply with and to respond to, they out of pride and arrogance, they reject it and they continue in their behavior. These are the three points that the Shaykh mentions very, very briefly. Before we yani, go to his commentary, I want to quickly read yani from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, what he says concerning this particular ayat. What Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di says. Not, it's not in the book, right? It's in the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di. The Shaykh says, the reason why I want to read his tafsir is because the Shaykh, he, in his tafsir, normally, He's explaining the things that need to be clarified in a simple manner, and he's also giving us a clarification of how we are to apply that in our lives. How does it apply to us in our daily lives? How do we implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here? So, in brief, the Shaykh, he says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, those who are when they are reminded of the ayat of their Rabb, أَلَّتِي أَمْرَهُمْ بِإِسْتِمَاعِهَا وَالْإِحْتِدَى بِهَا, those ayat which Allah has commanded them to listen to, and which Allah has commanded them to take as guidance for them. When they hear these ayats that Allah has commanded them to listen to and to be guided by, لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا, then they don't fall down deaf and blind to these ayat that they are reminded with. Rather, the Shaykh says, لَمْ يُقَابِلُوهَا بِالْإِعْرَاد عَنْهَا وَالصَّمَمْ عَنْ سَمَاعِهَا والصرف النظر والقلوب عنها كما يفعله من لم يؤمن بها ولم يصدق. That they do not لم يقابلوها, they don't meet it, they don't face it with إعراض, turning away from it. When they're reminded of the signs of Allah, they don't turn away from them. They don't turn a deaf ear to listening to them, and they don't turn their sight away from them or their hearts away from them. They look at it, they listen to it, and they allow it to enter their hearts. Okay, this is what they do. They don't turn away from it, as is done by those who don't believe in it, and those who don't testify to the truthfulness of it. If a person really believes in the Quran, if they believe that the Quran is the speech of Allah and that is truth, then they are supposed to act towards it in a certain way. The disbelievers, when they are reminded of the signs of Allah, they don't believe in them, so they turn away from them. But the believer, accepts it, receives it, listens to it, responds to it, and acts upon it. Then the Shaykh says, إِنَّمَا حَالُهُمْ فِيهَا وَعِنْدَ سَمَائِهَا كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Rather, their condition of the Ibad al-Rahman, at the time of being reminded of the signs of Allah, at the time of hearing the signs of Allah, their condition is as Allah said in another place in the Quran, with similar wording, in Surah Al-Sajdah, 32nd Surah, 15th Ayat, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. That indeed, verily, the one who believes in our signs, in our ayat, are those who, when they are reminded of them, they fall down humbly in prostration and declare the perfection of Allah through praise of Him. They declare that Allah is the one who is free from imperfection by mentioning the praises of Him. And they are not, لا يستكبرون, they are not proud. They don't respond proudly or arrogantly, stubbornly rejecting the signs of Allah. This is the hal of the Ibad al-Rahman. That they meet it, they meet the signs of Allah when they're reminded of them with qubul, wal iftiqa ilayha, wal inqiyad, wal taslim laha. They accept it and they acknowledge, they recognize their need for it. When they're reminded of the signs of Allah, they realize that I'm in need of this. They accept it and they manifest, and they show openly that they are in need of it, and they comply with it and they surrender to what came to them in the ayat of Allah. You find them that they have ears that listen, and they have hearts that are attentive and heedful of the signs of Allah. فَيَزْدَادُ بِهَا إِمَانُهُمْ. So their iman then is increased by it, by what they hear from the signs of Allah. When somebody brings to us an ayah from the ayat of Allah, and we hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and we reflect upon it, if we understand it, then it should increase us in iman. وَيَتَمُّ بِهَا إِقَانُهُمْ. And their certainty is also completed and perfected by the signs of Allah that they are reminded of. And they are given, they are caused by it to be, more active and energetic. And then, they express joy and happiness and delight over the signs of Allah. This is what the Shaykh said, in brief, concerning these ayat, and we wanted to start with that, so that we get the benefit of this tremendous, great tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. As we go now to the comments, the three areas of comment that Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions concerning this particular ayat, I also want to mention that there are two things that I want to add to what he said here, right? So there are two places where I'm going to bring some comments, yani from outside of the book. Inshallah, I'll try to like mention that as we comment on it so that you'll be aware that it's not in the book. Two points of benefit. One of them is related to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Foundation, fundamental aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah related to this topic of the Qur'an, the Kalam of Allah. And the second matter is related to how people in general interact with the Qur'an contrary to how we should interact with the Qur'an. Yani how people normally take the Qur'an and how we should take the Qur'an, how we should deal with it. Yani people use the Qur'an, they like to hear a beautiful recitation. And nothing wrong with that. Or they like to recite it themselves beautifully. And that's wonderful, right? And some people recite the Qur'an, for example, as a means of healing, ruqya, which is also legitimate and legislated in Islam. And some people recite the Qur'an simply because the Prophet ﷺ said that there's a lot of reward in reciting the Qur'an. For every harf there's a hasanah, and every hasanah is equal to 10 like it. All of this is good, but is that the purpose for which the Qur'an was sent down? That's the last point that we want to make, inshallah, that we're going to add to what the Shaykh said here. I just want to mention that now so that, and hopefully inshallah we'll have time to reach that. So the Shaykh, he begins after mentioning the general summary of this seventh characteristic, ta'azimuhum li kalamillah, that they have high regard and respect, they honor and rever, yani kalam, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they act upon what is contained in it. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ayat that we're talking about now, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, when they are reminded of the ayat of their Rabb. The ayat of their Rabb means here what? It means the ayat of the Qur'an, first and foremost. It means that when they are reminded of something from the Qur'an, something from their Rabb, yani the Ibad al-Rahman, their Rabb, an ayat, they are reminded of an ayat that comes from their Rabb. And they are the what? They are the Ibad al-Rahman. So here's an ayat from their Rabb. لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَ. Then they don't fall down deaf and blind to those ayat like the disbelievers do, any who fail to listen to it or to give heed to it or to give value to it. Rather, they just turn away from it. The Ibad al-Rahman, they accept it. They respond to it. They yani act upon it. The Shaykh, he says, Kalamullah, Kalamullah, Azza wa Jalla, Sha'nuhu Azeem, wa makanatuhu Jalila, fi nufus Ibad al-Rahman. This is the first point that the Shaykh makes, okay? This is the first of the three points that he makes here. The Kalam of Allah, meaning the Quran, Sha'nuhu Azeem, it is of immense importance to the Ibad al-Rahman. It is of immense importance, the Kalam of Allah. وَمَكَانَتُهُ جَلِيلًا, and its station is lofty, exalted, sublime. Yani the status, the rank of the Qur'an, the Kalam of Allah, is very high, is exalted in the hearts of the Ibad al-Rahman. فَلَا يُقَابِلُونَهُ بِالسُّدُودِ وَالْإِعْرَادِ. So they don't meet those ayat, when they are reminded of them, when they recite them, when they hear them, they don't meet them with resistance or reluctance or turning away from them. They are not reluctant to listen to learn from, and to act upon the ayat of their Rabb. They have no hesitation, no resistance. They don't turn away from it. بَلْ يُعَذِّمُونَهُ. Rather, they venerate it, they respect it highly. وَيُجِلُّونَهُ, يعني they venerate it, يعني they rever it, they honor it. نعم. وَيُحْسِنُونَ إِسْتِمَاعَهُ وَالْإِنْتِفَاعَ بِهِ. And they seek excellence in listening to it, meaning they listen to it carefully. They try to listen well to the signs of Allah when they are recited. And they also try to, يعني, benefit from it in the best way possible. This is the first point that the Shaykh makes. Yani that the Kalam of Allah, it is of immense importance to the believers. Its station is lofty in the hearts of the believers. They don't turn away from it. They don't resist it. They don't have any reluctance to it. Rather, they honor it, they respect it, they revere it, they venerate it, and they seek to listen to it carefully and to benefit from it. Here I want to make the point, yani I want to add here to what the Shaykh says here, I want to add the point that from the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah is that which makes us to understand why the Ibad al-Rahman, why the Mu'mineen, why the true believers honor and respect and revere the Kalam of Allah, the Qur'an. It is because of what the Imams of the people of Sunnah have stated clearly, unanimously, by agreement. Al-Imam Ahmad said in Usul Sunnah, Al-Qur'anu kalamullah wa laysa bi makhluq. Al-Qur'an kalamullah wa laysa bi makhluq. Al-Imam Ahmad said that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it is not something created. What is the point? The point is that the reason why the believers hold in high esteem the Qur'an is because it is actually the speech of Allah. And it is not created, meaning it's not like any other speech. The speech of created beings is created speech. And the speech of Allah is not created, it's the speech of the Creator. It's a sifa from the sifat of Allah. And Allah's characteristics, qualities, descriptions, actions, none of it is created. So the point here is that the Qur'an being the speech of Allah and being yani speech that is not created like every other speech, it is different, it is distinct, it is superior to every other speech. And therefore it has a high place in the hearts of the believers because they realize that this is not like other speech. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said, listen to the speech of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Al-Qur'an kalamullah azza wa jalla. Imam Malik said the same thing Imam Ahmad said. Al-Qur'an kalamullah azza wa jalla. وَيَسْتَفْذِعُوا قَوْلَ مَنْ يَقُولُ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ. And it is يعني shocking, it is abhorrent, it is abominable, it is disgusting that a person, the speech of the one who says the Qur'an is created. يعني a person who says Al-Qur'an مخلوق. This is the aqeedah of the Mu'tazila. And whoever followed them in that opinion, from the past and of the people today, who have questions about and doubts about the Qur'an. Al-Imam Malik said, this speech or this saying of the one who says the Qur'an is created is abominable, it's disgusting, it's abhorrent, it's repugnant, it's detestable, it's shocking that a person says the Qur'an is created. And this statement is mentioned by Al-Ajuri with an isnad that is Hassan. Al-Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah said, yani these are the imams of the people of Sunnah. Al-Imam al-Shafi said, Al-Quran kalamullah ghayr makhluq. The Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not created. وَمَنْ قَالَ مَخْلُوق فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. And whoever says that the Quran is created, Imam Shafi said, he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever, he has gone out of Islam. And this is also yani narrated with an isnad the Sahih in the book Al-Sharia from Al-Imam al-Shafi. Here, after mentioning these sayings of the Imams, I want to quickly mention yani another comment that's from a contemporary scholar. Yani from a Shaykh Hafiz ibn Ahmed al-Hakami rahimahullah. In his book أعلام السنة المنشورة لإعتقاد طائفة الناجية المنصورة, he says, ما حكم من قال بخلق القرآن. What is the ruling concerning the one who says that the Quran is created? And the claim that he brings here is like really, really very beautiful. I'm going to try to summarize it for the sake of time. Okay, but I'm going to read some of what he said and I'm going to try to summarize the remainder of it. Al-Hakami, rahimahullah, says, Al-Quran kalamullah azza wa jalla, like the Imams of the past said. And this is a point that we were discussing earlier today, after Asr, that no scholar from the people of Sunnah expresses an opinion about something that he didn't have an imam, a leader, somebody before him from the scholars of Islam that held that view. No scholar from the people of Sunnah says something that there was nobody before him from the scholars of Sunnah who said it. even though he might think this is really good and I think this is correct, but if he didn't have anybody before him who said that, he's not going to take that position. So here Al-Hakami, taking the position of the scholars of the people of Sunnah before, what Imam Ahmad said, and Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says, Al-Quran kalamullah, haqiqatan hurufuhu wa ma'anihi. Yani, it is the kalam of Allah in reality, its letters and its meanings. He said, تَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ قَوْلًا. Allah has spoken this with real speech. وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَى نَبِهِ وَحْيًا. And he has sent it down, revealed it upon his prophet as revelation. وَآمَنَ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. And the believers have believed in it, in truth, in reality. فَهُوَ وَإِنْ خُطَّ بِالْبَنَانِ وَتُلِيَ بِاللِّسَانِ وَحُفِظَ بِالْجَنَانِ وَسُمِيَ بِالْآذَانِ وَأَبْصَرَتُ الْعَيْنَانِ لَا يُخْرِجُهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ كَوْنِهِ كَلَامَ الرَّحْمَنِ. He said that this, yani Quran, he said that even if it is written with fingers, and if it is recited on the tongue, and if it is preserved, memorized by the heart, and if it is heard by the ears, and it is seen by the eyes, none of this takes it outside of it being the kalam of Ar-Rahman, the kalam of Allah. Yani the fact that it is heard, the fact that it is spoken, recited, the fact that it is written or preserved or memorized in the hearts of the people, this doesn't take it outside of being the speech of Allah. That which is preserved in the heart, that is memorized, is the speech of Allah, the Quran. That which is recited on the tongue is the speech of Allah. That which is heard is the speech of Allah. That which is written is the speech of Allah. The Shaykh, he says, in clarification of this, he says, الأنامل والمداد والأقلام والأوراق مخلوقة. Yani the fingertips, the ink, the pens, the paper is created. والمكتوب بها غير مخلوق. But that which is written is not created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَقْنُونٌ. That indeed it is a noble Qur'an, a noble, yani recitation. It is in a book that is guarded and preserved. And it's in a book, it's written. The fact that it's written doesn't take it outside of being the kalam of Allah. Yani the pen, the ink, the paper, the fingertips that are used to write are created. But that which is written is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not created. The Shaykh, he says, الألسن والأسوات مخلوقة والمتلو بها غير مخلوقة. Yani the tongues and the voice is created, but that which has been recited is not created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. Recite that which has been revealed to you from the book of your Rabb. Recite it. That which is recited is that which has been revealed, the wahi, from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which is recited is not created, even though the tongue that does the recitation and the voice of the human being is created. But that which is recited is, yani the wahi, مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. The Shaykh says, يعني the sudur مخلوقة والمحفوظ فيها غير مخلوقة. يعني the hearts, the chests of the human beings where يعني the Quran is memorized, is preserved, the hearts are يعني created. But that which is preserved, that which is memorized in the heart is the speech of Allah, it's not created. And here the Shaykh, he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anqabut, 29th Surah, 49th ayat, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. Indeed, rather, it is ayat, clear ayat, فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, in the hearts of those who have been given knowledge. وَمَا يَجْهَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الظَّالِمُونَ. And there are no people who deny our ayat except the wrongdoers. Again, yani the Shaykh is using this ayat as a proof that these ayat bayinat, that are the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sudur alladhina utul ilm, in the hearts of those who have been given knowledge, that is memorized and preserved in the hearts of the people. Yani these ayat are the speech of Allah, and it's not created, even though the heart, the chest of the human being is created, but that which is preserved in it, that which is memorized in it, is not created. And the Shaykh says, يعني الأسماع مخلوقة والمسموع غير مخلوق, يعني that the hearing and the adhan, the ears, are created, but that which is heard through them is the speech of Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 6th Ayat, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And if any one of the mushrikeen seeks refuge, yani seeks protection, so that he may hear the speech of Allah, then give him refuge, so that he may hear the speech of Allah. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, yani so that he can learn about Islam, then give him protection until he has a chance to hear what? The kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. Here again, the Shaykh is using this as a proof that that which is heard is the speech of Allah, even though yani the hearing itself and the ears are created. The masmu', that which is heard, is actually the speech of Allah. And then the Shaykh goes on yani after this to mention yani something concerning yani the ruling concerning the people who deny that the Quran is yani the speech of Allah, غير مخلوق, and it's not created. He said that whoever says such, then he is a kafir, kufran akbar, yukhrijuhu min al-islami bil kulliyya. And either whoever says the Quran is created, he is a disbeliever. Disbelief, that is the major disbelief, which removes a person from Islam totally, bil kulliyya. And this is the summary of what yani the Shaykh said. Again, I said, like, we're going to try to summarize it because it's kind of lengthy what he said. But this is from A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, the I'tiqad al-Ta'if al-Naji al-Mansur, by Shaykh Ahmed, Hafiz ibn Ahmed al-Hakami, rahimahullah. So, yani this point here, again, the purpose of mentioning this is that this is the aqeedah of Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it is not created. It is unlike any other speech that you hear, or that you see written, or that you recite, or that has been memorized. It is unlike any other speech. Yani it's the speech of Allah, it's not created, and for this reason, yani it is of immense importance. It has a high station, yani, with the Ibad al-Rahman, the believers. After this, the Shaykh says, yani he begins to explain this part of the ayat, لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّنْ وَعُمْيَانَ, yani when the Ibad al-Rahman, when they are reminded of the ayat of their Rabb, then they don't fall down deaf and dumb. Yani that they don't fall down, yani the Shaykh says, meaning, إِذَا اسْتَمَعُوا لِكَلَامِ الرَّبِّ لَمْ يَكُونُوا كَالْأَصَمِّ الَّذِي لَا يَسْمَعُ. Yani when they listen to the speech of their Rabb, the kalam of their Rabb, the Quran, they are not like the person who is deaf, who cannot hear. Rather, they listen to it, and therefore they benefit. فَيَنْتَفِعُوا بِالْمَوَاعِظَ. So they benefit from the exhortations or the admonitions that came in the ayat of Allah. وَكَلَامَ. Nor are they like the blind person, الَّذِي لَا يُبْصِرُ, who doesn't see. Rather, he said, هُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ الْإِسْتِمَاعَ. They listen well, they listen carefully. وَيَنْتَفِعُونَ بِالْمَوَاعِذِ. And therefore they benefit from the admonitions, from the exaltations, from the reminders that came in those ayat. وَيَعْمَلُونَ بِأَحْكَامِهِ وَهِدَايَتِهِ. And then they act upon, yani, the rulings that came in the ayat of Allah and the guidance that came in the ayat of Allah. Yani they listen carefully and therefore are able to benefit. And the benefit is in what? That when they understand it, they act upon it. They act upon the rulings that came in the ayat. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is halal, is haram. And what He said is halal. And what He said is wajib. And what He said is mustahab. And so on. They act upon the ahkam that came in the Quran and the other points of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the guidance of humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah. On this second point, the Shaykh, he mentions the statement from Qatada ibn Di'ama. And in here, we should note that Qatada نعم لدى قتادة ابن دعامة he was a great scholar from the تابعين الإمام الحافظ الذهبي mentions him in سيرة أعلام النبلاء he says حافظ العصر that he was the حافظ of his time and he was the حافظ of his time قدوة المفسرين ومحدثين and he was the leader the example the model for the scholars of tafsir and the scholars of hadith he said Abu Khattab يعني his kunya السدوسي البصري الضرير يعني that he was يعني Abu Khattab he was a Sudusi he was al-Basri from Basra and he was blind rather he was blind from birth يعني a man who was born blind and he became the hafiz of his asr he was the most يعني person who memorized the knowledge of Islam of the Quran and the Sunnah of his time he was the model for the scholars of tafsir and the scholars of hadith a man who was born blind he never saw in his life so Qatada ibn Di'ama he says rahimahullah at the time when this ayah was mentioned he said lam yasummu an al-haq wa lam ya'mu fihi yani meaning the ibad ar-rahman yani that they didn't act blind towards the truth when they heard it or deaf towards the truth when they heard it hum qawmun aqalu an illahi فانتفعوا بما سمعوا من كتاب الله يعني there are people who understood whose intellect enabled them to understand what they heard from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore because they listened to it and understood it they benefited from what they heard from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir when he mentions this ayah Ibn Kathir mentions this saying from Qatada and he also mentions along with it the saying of يعني مجاهد رحمه الله also a scholar from the تابعين he said concerning this statement لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا he said لم يسمعوا ولم يبصروا ولم يفقهوا شيئا يعني the people who didn't listen and who didn't recognize the truth they didn't listen to it they didn't see it and they didn't understand anything of it. Unlike يعني the Ibad al-Rahman who didn't do this. They didn't fall prostrate, deaf and blind. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he also mentioned, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned Hasan al-Basri, he said, كَمْ مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَقْرَأُهَا وَيَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا أَصَمْ وَأَعْمَى يعني that how many are the people, so many are the people, who read the ayat of Allah, the ayat of the Quran, and they fall down upon it deaf and blind. Meaning they didn't hear, they didn't listen, they didn't see, they didn't understand, they didn't benefit from it at all. How many are the people? And we're going to come back to this point, yani in the end, inshallah, and according to the time that we have remaining, concerning how many are the people who the Quran, they were reminded of the ayat of Allah. They themselves read the ayat of Allah. Maybe they memorized them. They recited them perfectly with the rules of tajweed. And yet, they didn't benefit from them. The Shaykh, he says, after Shaykh, this is the last point that Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafizullah, that he mentions, he says, this is the third point is what? Yani how Allah criticized, blamed, and threatened with punishment the people who instead of humbly submitting, accepting, recognizing, acknowledging, reflecting upon, understanding and acting upon the ayat of Allah when they came to them, they proudly rejected them. They arrogantly rejected them and continued in their ways. Yani instead of being reminded by the signs of Allah. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ ذَمَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ يَتَكَبَّرُ عَلَىٰ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَهِدَايَاتِهِ That Allah has blamed, He has criticized the person who يتكبر على آيات الله يعني who acts proudly and arrogantly towards the ayat of Allah and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran وتأخذه العزة بالإثم and he is taken by pride and arrogance يعني caused by his pride and arrogance to sin or due to his sin he became proud and arrogant Or he was proud and arrogant along with his sinning. as the different scholars explained this expression when it came in the Quran. The Shaykh says that some of the people, yani Allah criticized these people who acted arrogantly and proudly towards the signs of Allah. They became proud and arrogant and continued in their sin. يَسْتَمِرُوا فِي بَاطِلِهِ. And they remained upon, they continued in the falsehood that they were upon. وَتَوَعَدَهُ بِعَذَابْ جَهَنَّمِ. And Allah has threatened this person with punishment in the hellfire. Here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 206 ayat, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. If it is said to this person, this fasiq, yani this fajir, this munafiq, as some of the scholars said, this corrupt, wicked, evil, sinful person, if it is said to him, due to some speech that he is saying, or some action that he is engaged in, if it is said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, and he observed taqwa of Allah. Stop talking like that. Stop acting like that. Turn back. Yani, repent. Correct yourself. If it is said to him, ittaqillah, he's reminded of, yani, fear Allah. أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Then he is overtaken by his pride and his arrogance, yani, causing him to continue in his sin. Or his sin that he's engaged in when he's reminded to fear Allah caused him, yani, to become proud and arrogant and to reject the reminder or the warning. فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. So sufficient for him is Jahannam, the hellfire, the punishment in the hellfire. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. And evil is it as a resting place. This particular ayat, as I said, has been explained by different scholars in different ways. One of the explanations is that أَخَذَتْهُ العزه بالاثم means حملته الانف والحميه على العمل بالاثم الذي امر باتقائه. Yani that his pride and his anger at being told to, reminded to fear Allah, his pride and his anger, حملته على العمل بالاثم, that caused him to continue in his sin, the sin that he is being told fear Allah concerning it. Yani, that his pride and his arrogance caused him to continue in his sin. Because he was proud, he was arrogant, he couldn't, yani, refrain from that behavior, so it caused him to continue in his sin. Another explanation that is given by Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir in his tafsir, he said that أَخَذَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةُ وَالْغَضَبْ بِالْإِثْمِ. Yani, the meaning here is that his yani anger, his rage, and his yani his passion, his emotion. أَخَذَتْهُ الْحَمِيَّةُ وَالْغَضَبِ بِالْإِثْمِ, meaning a بِسَبَبِ مَا اجْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْآثَامِ. Yani due to the sin that he is engaged in, yani due to his sinful behavior, this caused him to become yani angry, caused him to become enraged, and caused him to be arrogant and yani stubborn and proud. Another explanation given by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, فَيَجْمَعَ بَيْنَ الْعَمَلِ بِالْمَعَاسِ وَالْكِبْرِ. Yani that أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ means that Allah is saying here that these two things were accompanied by one another. Yani his pride and arrogance and his sinful behavior, these are two things that he combined. One of them is sufficient to be punished in the hellfire. He combined them together, both of them. And yani Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says that the place that the hellfire is the place, is the home of the people who sin and the people who are proud and arrogant. And he has combined both of these things together. The last thing that the Shaykh says, yani after mentioning this ayat, he mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's related to this ayat, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's reported by An-Nasa'i in the Sunan al-Kubra, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it was sahih in Sunan al-Hadith al-Sahiha. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna abghadu al-kalami wa inna al-abghada al-kalami ila Allahi ay yaqula ar-rajulu lir-rajuli ittaqillah fayaqulu alayka nafsaka." يعني إن أبغض الكلام إلى الله that the most hated, the most detestable, the most abhorrent speech to Allah is that a man says to another man who's engaged in some kind of sinful behavior or speech, ittaqillah. He says to him, fear Allah. يعني check yourself. The speech that you are using, the action that you are engaged in, is displeasing to Allah. Fear Allah. Observe taqwa of Allah. And that man responds to him by saying, عليك نفسك. يعني worry about yourself. This is from the most hated, the most detestable, abhorrent speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when a person reminds somebody to fear Allah in their behavior, that they tell them, yani get away from me, worry about yourself, don't worry about me. This is the end of what the Shaykh said, and the thing that we're going to close with here in the few minutes that's remaining, as I said, I want to add one more point to what the Shaykh said here, which I feel is of great importance. Yani Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, one of the yani leading scholars of the people of Sunnah today, a scholar that is known yani for his clarity, his simplicity, and his firmness upon that which is the truth. He says in his explanation of Al-Usul al-Sitta, the six fundamentals by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and in his introduction to that, he mentions how the author of the book, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, says that the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Qur'an, that which is crystal clear, and in the Sunnah, that which is crystal clear concerning matters which every person is easily capable of comprehending. In spite of that, though the clearest thing that Allah brought in the Qur'an is the clarification and the explanation of a tawheed and shirk. And yet, in spite of that clarity, there are people who are falling into it all the time. Yani meaning from amongst the Muslims. The Shaykh says, yani the point here that we want to make here is that the Shaykh is now, he's using this as the basis for explaining how people interact with the Quran, generally speaking, even those who are yani using it for a good purpose, but fail to utilize the Quran for its main purpose. The most important thing that the Quran was revealed for is to be a means of guidance, that we read the Quran, that we recite the Quran, that we listen to the Quran in order to receive guidance, clarity on how we are supposed to live. Once we understand it, then we live by it, we act upon it. That's the main purpose of the Quran. And every other purpose that it might be used for legitimately, like reciting over a sick person as a ruqya, a means of healing, or yani reciting the Quran for the hope of the reward for reciting every letter of the Quran, or yani for yani the pleasure of the joy of listening to a beautiful recitation of the Quran, the Shaykh said all of that is good, but this is not the reason, the main purpose for which the Quran was recited. The Shaykh, he says, بَلْ أَخَذَهُمْ التَّقْلِيدِ. He's talking about the people who, even though Allah clarified shirk, tawheed and shirk in the Quran, but the people still, yani following their ancestors and their shuyukh who are misguided, they still went astray. The Shaykh says, بَلْ أَخَذَهُمْ التَّقْلِيدَ الْعَامَ لِآبَائِهِمْ وَأَجْدَادِهِمْ وَاتَّبَرُوا أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ إِنَّمَا يُقْرَى لِلْبَرَكَةِ وَالْحُصُولَ الْأَجْرِ بِالتِّلَاوَةِ وَلَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّهُ يُقْرَى لِلْتَدَبُّرِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا فِيهِ. Yani that these people were taken away by their blind following of their fathers and their ancestors, and they considered that the Quran, its purpose is reading it for barakah, for blessings, or to achieve some reward for the person who recites it. وَلَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ, and they didn't consider that the intent, the purpose, the objective of reciting the Qur'an is to reflect upon it and to act upon what it contains. قَلَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنِ لِهَذَا الْغَرْضِ. Few are the people who recite the Qur'an with this yani goal. The goal of what? Reflecting upon the Qur'an in order to comprehend it, to understand it, to act upon it. Few are the people, the Shaykh said, قَلَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنِ لِهَذَا الْغَرْضِ. with this objective. إنما يقرؤون للتبرك به والتلذذ بصوت القاري والترنن به أو لقراءته على المرضى للعلاج. He said that rather most of the people, they are reciting it for the blessing contained in it, the barakah of reciting Quran, or the enjoyment of the voice of the reciter, or to chant it, yani in a beautiful manner, or to recite it upon the sick as a means of ilaj, yani for a cure or a healing of a sick person. This is the reason why the common people recite the Quran. أَمَّا أَنْ يَقْرَ لِلْعَمَلْ بِهِ وَالتَّدَبُّرْ وَالسُّدُورْ عَمَّا فِيهِ وَأَرْضْ مَا عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ عَلَى هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فَهَذَا لَا يُوجَدْ إِلَّا فِي قَلِيلْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. As far as reciting the Quran with the intent, the objective, the purpose of acting upon it, reflecting upon it, taking it as the source that we build upon or that we start from, yani checking what the people are, comparing what the people are upon with the Quran, yani what the people are saying, what they believe in, how they act, comparing it with the Quran to see if they are in agreement with the Quran or in contradiction to it. فَهَذَا لَا يُوجَدْ إِلَّا فِي قَلِيلْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Then this you don't find except amongst a few of the people. Except amongst a few of the people. لَا نَقُولَ إِنَّهُ مَعْدُومٌ. We don't say that it doesn't exist at all. وَلَكِنَّهُ فِي أَقَلِّ الْقَلِيلِ. And this is just amongst very few of the few. وَلِذَلِكَ تَجِدَ الْقُرْآنَ فِي وَادٍ وَأَمَالِ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ فِي وَادٍ آخَرٍ. So for this reason, you find that the Qur'an is in one valley and the people are in another valley. يعني far from the Qur'an, distant from the Qur'an. وَلَا يُفَكِّرُونَ فِي التَّغْيِيرِ أَبَدًا. They are not even thinking at all about changing their lives in accordance with what came in the Quran. وَلَوْ حَوْلَ مُجَدِّدْ أَوْ دَاعٍ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُغَيْرَ مَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ لَقَامُوا فِي وَجْهِهِ وَاتَّهَمُوهُ بِالضَّلَالِ وَاتَّهَمُوهُ بِالْخُرُوجِ عَلَى الدِّينِ وَأَنَّهُ أَتَى بِدِينِ جَدِيدٍ وَأَنَّهُ يعني the Shaykh says that even if a mujaddid came, or a person who's calling to Allah to get the people to change their misguided ways that they are upon, they would stand in his face and they would accuse him of being upon misguidance. They would accuse him of going outside of the deen of Allah. They would accuse him of coming with a new religion and accuse him of such and such and so and so. And this, the Shaykh said, is what happened with Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and he discussed it in some detail. And then we close with this saying, and this is the summary of what, yani the point that the Shaykh is making, and this is what we want to go home with. Yani, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, says that the Shaykh, meaning the author of the book, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in these few words, he has clarified something that is from the amazing affairs, that the people are reading the Quran, يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَيُكْثِرُونَ مِنْ قِرَاءَتِهِ, and they are reading it a lot. وَيُخْتِمُونَهُ, and they are finishing the Quran, meaning reading the whole Quran from beginning to end. وَيَحْفَظُونَهُ, and they are actually memorizing verbatim the whole Quran from beginning to end. وَيُرَتِّلُونَهُ, and they are reciting it beautifully. وَيُرَكِّزُونَ اهتمامهم بألفاظ القرآن وتجويده وأحكام المد وأحكام الإدغام والجنة والإقلاب والإظهار والإخفاء ويعتنون بهذا عناية فائقة وهذا شيء طيب. يعني the Shaykh is saying what? That the people are reading the Quran frequently, they are memorizing the Quran, and they are given great care to the wordings of the Quran and the rules of tajweed on how they should be recited. Yani the rulings of tajweed, al-med, yani elongating, idgham, merging letters, gunna, iqlab, yani the rules of tajweed, ikhfa and idhar and so on. He said they are giving great care to this, and this is shay'un tayyib. This is very good. This is a beautiful thing. Walakin al-ham, what is more important, the most important, wal-maqsood, and the real objective, laysa hadha. This is not the real objective of the Quran being revealed. Al-maqsood, تدبر المعاني. What is intended is contemplating, reflecting, pondering on the meanings of the Qur'an. وَالتَّفَقُّهُ And understanding the meanings of the Qur'an. تَفَقُّ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ Understanding what the Qur'an contains. Its guidance, its rules, its regulations, its encouragements, and so on. وَأَرْضْ أَعْمَالِنَا وَأَعْمَالَ النَّاسِ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ And measuring our behavior, our deeds, and the deeds of the people, measuring it by the Book of Allah. Yani, this is what is intended by the Qur'an. That we look at ourselves and examine ourselves, and we measure ourselves by the Qur'an, and we measure the people also by the Qur'an. هَلْ هِيَ مُوَافَقَةٌ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُخَالِفَةٌ Yani, are our deeds and the deeds of the people in agreement with the Book of Allah, or are they in contradiction, in opposition, contrary to the Book of Allah? هَذَا هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ This is what is required. And نُصَحِّهَا أَوْضَاعَنَا Yani, that we correct our own situation, our own lives, yani our conditions, that we correct them by examining ourselves to see if we are in agreement with the Book of Allah or in contradiction to it. وَنُنَبِّهَ عَلَىٰ أَخْطَاءَ النَّاسِ And also to bring to the attention of the people their mistakes. Also, by the Qur'an, bringing to the people to their attention their mistakes. If they are saying something wrong, if they are doing something wrong, if they are not worshipping Allah correctly, if they have an aqidah that's incorrect, that is off the path, that's yani that has deviated from the correct aqidah, then we use the Qur'an first and foremost to correct ourselves, and then also to bring to the attention of the people their errors. لَا بِقَصْدَ التَّشْهِيرِ Not to spread the mistakes and the errors of the people. Not to broadcast this person said this and this person said that on the minbar and in the internet and publish their mistakes and errors. وَقَصْدَ النَّيْلِ مِنَ النَّاسِ Yani to defame the people. This is not the reason for it. بَلْ بِقَصْدَ الْإِصْلَاحِ وَالنَّسِيهَا But rather with the intention of rectification and yani giving advice, advising the people with that which is correct. There are many things that the Qur'an is used for by the people today, and some of those are good things. But they are not the most important objective or purpose for which the Qur'an was revealed for. The Qur'an was revealed for us to reflect upon it, to contemplate the ayat, to ponder over the meanings that came in the Qur'an, to understand the Qur'an in order to apply it in our lives, to act upon it, and to use it as a means, first to correct ourselves, and also to correct the people, not to publicize people's errors, not to defame people, to belittle people, to criticize people for the sake of criticism, but rather to correct ourselves and to correct others by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of what we wanted to present today. And I guess we can take a couple of minutes if there's any question about something that we said that's not clear. Something that we said or any correction of something that was said. Any question or any correction or any comment concerning what we said tonight.
I have a question.
Naam.
As it relates to the Quran being the speech of Allah.
Naam.
What I understood is that a big reason why this is such a major issue is that created things by default have shortcomings and deficiencies by the mere fact that it's created. And so a part of the problem of saying that the Quran is created, and the idea of why that's such a big issue is that it necessitates by default that the Quran has deficiency because now it makes it like everyone else's speech, which is created, or it makes it like anything created in general. The angels are deficient. The prophet, as high as they might be, there's still a deficiency.
Perfection belongs to Allah alone.
Right.
Naam, no doubt. This is absolutely correct. I'm not going to attempt to repeat what you just said, but in any case, whoever yani is here who heard it, then it's sufficient. Yani, the point is that from among the important reasons why the emphasis on this aqidah that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it's not created is because everything that's created has defect, has some shortcoming, has some imperfection. So whoever claimed in the past or today, as the Mu'tazila said in the past, that the Qur'an is created, then this necessarily subjects the Quran to being considered also defective, yani imperfect, because everything that is created has some imperfection. Only Allah the Creator is perfect, and therefore so the speech of Allah being this yani being not created, the point is what? That it is perfect, that it has no shortcoming, no defect, no imperfection, that it is the speech of Allah and it is not created and it is not imperfect, it is perfect. Naam, this is correct, absolutely. Jazakallah khair.
That wasn't a clarification on my point. That was the first time I actually really understood the basis of the argument of why it's so important.
Naam.
Because you are attributing deficiency.
Attributing deficiency, you're opening the door for the Quran to be considered imperfect, so that people can criticize the Quran and accept or reject something from the Quran. So this door is closed, and we see that people are opening this door today, in this very time, now, in these days. I don't mean in these last 20 years, I mean right now, in this time that we're living, in these days, Muslims who have had a scholarship ascribed to them are opening the doors for the yani, for the arguments of the enemies of Islam from within and without to yani, to ascribe to the Quran imperfection, so that the Quran yani can be like everything else, yani you can take it or leave it. No, the Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not created, it's perfect. We have to accept it, all of it, the whole of it, yani from the beginning to the end. We have no choice in the matter. It's not like other things. Maybe you can accept it or reject it. Yani, as Imam Malik said, yani, everyone's speech can be accepted or rejected. Illa sahibu hadha al-qabr. Except the one who is buried in this grave. That is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, everybody else's opinion, view, however strong it may be, can be accepted or rejected. But the speech of Allah and that which has been revealed to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because, yani, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he is saying is also revelation. What he is saying, yani, is not from his own self, but it is wahi, yuha. It is revelation that is revealed to him. So the authentic sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also revelation. There's no room for acceptance or rejection. You can't take what you want and leave what you want. Rather, we have to take the whole of it. We have to submit and surrender in Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholly, completely, yani entirely, and we have to take the whole package. It all goes together. There's no part of it that we can yani have some reservation about, yani some resistance to, something that you know we have doubts about, or we're not certain about, or we don't fully accept it. We have to accept it all. Naam, jazakallah khair for this point. This is really yani important point. We'll close with this then. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.